Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses political, social, economic, prophetic events in life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On today's program, I'd like to discuss the legal, ethical issue of the police's use of deadly force in arresting felons or suspected felons. This question is driving many of these protests and riots across the country, or at least it's become a pretext for these protests and riots. And so the ethical question of police behavior needs to be addressed. Because if Satan is going to get a foothold in this country and cause mayhem, he's going to get it by keeping people in the dark concerning the law of God and the good reasons for it. Now, we know that defining the role of the police and discussing the efficacy of the use of force is not going to stop the riots. I mean, it's not as if these rioters, once they hear what the Bible has to say about the magistrates and the use of the sword in Romans chapter 13, are going to say, wow, I never knew that. I apologize. I'm never going to riot again. No, most of these riots are clearly promoting lawlessness. They're a hatred of accountability, a hatred of the law, a hatred of authority. These are people who want to do what's right in their own eyes, as in the final verse found in the book of Judges, Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So how do we know this is the explanation for these riots? Well, because these rioters are not simply calling for changing police procedure, but are calling for the elimination and defunding of the police. It's a despising of authority and a desire to get rid of authority so that they can live lawless. Violent gangs, drug dealers, sex traffickers, thieves do not want the police in their neighborhoods. Radical insurrectionists and communists don't want the police. And it's as simple as that. The middle-class suburbanites who are showing up at these protests, thinking that this is about stopping bad police, are just being naive. In a recent Gallup poll, blacks, more than any other group, want more police, not less. 81% want police to spend the same amount of time or more time in their area. 81%. You can hardly get 81% of Americans agree on any issue, but they agree on this issue. They want more police. So these protests against the police don't represent the black community. They represent the Marxists and the radical left, those who are using the race card, and the black community to push their agenda. I was speaking with a pastor friend who said he was with his children in a Little League game with minority teams in the inner city. And there was an ice cream truck off to the side, and he said, hey, that's great. Let's get some ice cream for the kids. And the residents told him, oh, that truck doesn't sell ice cream. So I looked this up, and apparently this is a big thing in the inner cities, selling drugs out of ice cream trucks. So trust me, these riots are not about police brutality. They are mostly about getting rid of the police that are getting in the way of a criminal lifestyle in the inner city. These people want almost everything we consider crimes legalized. They want to be left alone in their sin. The black senator from South Carolina, Tim Scott, introduced a bill in the Senate to curb police brutality. There would be a nationwide database created to track uses of force by the police, so there could be accurate data in this regard. The use of chokeholds would be banned. The use of no-knock warrants would be curtailed. But Democrats refused to sign the bill, even though Senator Scott invited the Democrats to discuss and add whatever amendments they wanted to the bill. But the Democrats were not interested in compromise. They just walked out. Why? Well, for political purposes, they do not want any police reform this year. They want to keep the issue going. Angus King, a Democratic senator from Maine, who actually wanted to advance Scott's bill, said, quote, "Voting against it will end the discussion of this subject in the Senate for the foreseeable future." In other words, the Democrats do not want this controversy over police reform to end. So at issue here is more than just what is the right thing for police to do when arresting people. Here's an article from PJ Media. "Lancaster riots prove the nationwide unrest isn't about police brutality." You know the story. The recent police shooting in Lancaster was a case where the suspect was coming after a lone police officer with a knife. The police officer didn't engage in any provocation. The assailant, Ricardo Munoz, was holding a woman hostage, then ran out of the home with a huge knife, lifting it to bear down on the police officer. The officer had no choice but to pull out his weapon and shoot. The Lancaster police even immediately released the police body cam so that no false narrative of police brutality would be a pretext for riots. But even in this case, where the officer was clearly justified, there was rioting and burning and the breaking of windows in downtown Lancaster. So Rick Moran writes in PJ Media, "There is a gigantic, deadly game of let's pretend going on in America. Politicians, the media, and activists are all pretending that the violence, the arsons, the beatings, and the mayhem in our city streets actually have a purpose. They pretend that the mostly peaceful protests are only being made violent by the presence of police officers. And the media pretends that the rioters are engaged or fed up with oppression and systematic racism so that the chaos and thuggery is a completely normal response to the problem." I mean, do these people really believe that the riots are all about the poor? Do they really think all police are racist out to kill black people? Do you really think the rioters give a hoot about systemic racism? When leftists are not busy denying that the rioters are using the innocent peaceful protests as a cover to loot and burn, they're pretending the real problems they are wanting to address are far, far worse than they actually are. In fact, a gross exaggeration of the problems of racism, police brutality, and inequality is absolutely necessary to justify the violence. And if they can stick it to Donald Trump while they're doing it, that's a bonus. Unquote. So I just want to make it clear from the outset that although I am answering the question about what the Bible has to say about the police's use of force, I want you to know that I'm not naive. I know that the unrest in our country is not about police brutality. It's really about lawlessness and the hatred of righteousness. Now, of course, some evangelical leaders and church-going suburbanite families who live in their ivory towers have been duped into believing all of this unrest is a crusade for justice. You know, for them, I can only say read your Bible so you get a better understanding of evil and the deception of evil. There's a whole other God and Country program that I could be doing here about the deceptive power of evil, how evil will deceive the minds of the innocent, Romans 16:18. But for today's program, let's deal with the moral question itself. What is the proper use of police force? I mean, even I read these stories of police arrests that result in the death of a suspect, and I wonder, could the police have just shot them in the leg? Does there have to be capital punishment for drug possession or for stealing? Is there some better way? And we ought to have that discussion. And the police themselves have that discussion. And many police procedures are already written into the law, and the police know they can be prosecuted when they pull out their gun. And we know that there are police officers who, in a moment of crisis, make a wrong decision. And of course, there are some bad cops out there, like in any profession. There are some police officers who don't have much empathy or respect for life. There are a few police officers out there that are on a power trip. I mean, there are actually unsaved, unregenerate police officers, if you haven't noticed. In fact, I'm actually surprised that the problem with police brutality is not worse than it is. You know, there's been article after article, study after study, refuting this myth that there is an epidemic of fatal police shootings against unarmed Americans and unarmed Black Americans. And people are believing this lie because they listen to the media, but it's not true. In 2019, there were 14 unarmed Black victims of police and 25 unarmed white victims of police. And that is an amazing small number given that there are 350 million people here in America. And if you look at those cases of those shot and killed by the police, it was either because it was accidental or because there was a dangerous suspect who was fighting or fleeing from the police. And the number of unarmed Black shooting victims by police is down 63% from 2015. That's when the database was actually started. But in order to think about this issue, let's start off with the case of Antoine Rose, a 17-year-old African-American who was fatally shot by police in Pittsburgh in June of 2018. The police received a call that there had been a drive-by shooting. The police officer pulled over a car that met the description. In the car were three occupants. The police ordered the driver out of the car and was handcuffing him when the other two men ran from the car, Antoine Rose and his friend Hester. The police told them to stop, and then he fired three shots and killed Antoine. Hester escaped but was found later. When the police officer was shooting, one bystander was heard saying, "Why did they have to shoot him? All they did was run, and they're shooting at them." The trial that took place in March of 2019, the police officer was found not guilty, because Antoine Rose did commit the drive-by shooting. He had a 9mm by his car seat. He had a 9mm cartridge in his pocket. And he had gunpowder on his hands. And according to the law, police have the authority to use deadly force to stop a suspected felon from resisting arrest, to protect the public from violent people escaping. Now, the police do not have the right to use deadly force to stop people who commit misdemeanors. But those who commit crimes that are deemed felons, from the Latin evildoers, can be detained with the use of deadly force. And if the police don't have the right to use deadly force to stop suspected felons, it would remove from police all power, all authority. I mean, once it's known that police cannot pull out their guns and threaten deadly force, every criminal would simply run away from the police or even fight the police. Now, there can be some debate about what constitutes a felon or what other means can be used to apprehend a suspect, but the basic ethic of police using deadly force has to be maintained. But that is actually what is being challenged by those on the radical left, and that's a recipe for disaster. Have you noticed the different emphasis in the political debate here? What we're hearing on the left is there is an epidemic of police brutality. What we're hearing on the right and President Trump's view is that we have to be about law and order or our cities are going to burn. We can't take the dignity or authority away from the police. The president said in his town hall ABC meeting with George Stephanopoulos, quote, "Well, I think they were tragic events. And I do feel that we have to also take into consideration that if you look at our police, they do a phenomenal job. You'll have people choked, mistakes made, it happens, where police have to make a fast decision and something bad happens. And you also have some bad apples. But you have 99% great people. I know the police forces very well. I think almost every one of them, if you look, I've been endorsed by so many of them, and these are great people. And I will say this, if you're going to stop crime, we have to give the respect back to the police that they deserve. They've done a fantastic job in so many locations, but then bad things happen. Look at New York. New York had a very safe city. Rudy Giuliani did a fantastic job. The city was safe. Then all of a sudden, we have a mayor who starts cutting the police force, and crime is up 100%, 150%. I saw one form of crime up 300%. So I think it's very important whether you talk Seattle, where they have very good police, but they're not allowed to do their job. You have to allow the police to do their job. I agree with you, those events are terrible, but we have to allow the police to do their job, otherwise crime is going to soar. We have to give the police the respect they deserve. We have to give them their mojo. We have to let them protect us. So who's right? What is the right emphasis? Supporting the police, giving them the right to use deadly force, the Rudy Giuliani approach to clean up the city, or is the solution less police, less force? And how you answer that is based upon your understanding of man and sin. Actually, your theological worldview, whether it be humanism or Christianity. Kamala Harris was recently speaking on this subject, and her worldview is that we can reduce crime and dysfunction in our inner cities by reducing the funding for police and increasing funding on social services and education. She has a completely different worldview regarding the cause and the cure for crime. So in the time we have left, let's look at what the Bible has to say about all this. There are many Old Testament examples of the state's use of force against criminals, but let's begin with the classic text, Romans chapter 13. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it doesn't bear the sword for nothing. For it's a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. So these verses are quoted often, and they ought to be, because in just one paragraph, we get so many answers to so many questions. Verse 1, that the government and the force of the state is not evil. It's established by God. Verse 2, those who oppose the force of the state deserve condemnation. And verse 3, you don't want to be shot while being arrested? You don't want to be wrongly profiled? Then do what is good, and you will have no problem with the police. And verse 4, be afraid. The police need to be feared. And the fear of law enforcement is a good thing. They're not supposed to be your buddy. And no matter how high-minded you think you are, you need to say yes, sir, to the police, even if the police have a lousy attitude. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether as to kings, as to one in authority. Chapter 3, verse 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. Do not fear their intimidation and don't be troubled. And also back in Romans 13, 4, the police do not bear the sword in vain. In other words, there's a divine purpose, a divine permission to use deadly force. And that's the right of capital punishment and the use of deadly force when making an arrest. The police are called to be avengers, as the Old Testament law refers to those who are called avengers of blood. Now think about this. Jesus did not resist arrest. Now Peter, in his foolishness, tried to resist arrest, but Jesus told Peter to put away the sword. Jesus is to be our example of how the law is to work and how we're to respond. And even though Jesus' arrest was unjust, he still submitted to the authorities ordained by God. So all of these attitudes, this biblical emphasis on police authority, has worked its way into English common law and into American jurisprudence. And that's where the emphasis needs to be. Because without the magistrate having the authority of the sword, crime and evil proliferate. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are given fully to do evil. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Proverbs 20, 26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives a threshing wheel over them. The police are supposed to make the lives of criminals miserable. And when their hands are tied, crime is rampant. And yes, an aggressive police force may be an inconvenience or a trouble for good people who are wrongly accused, but that's just the price we all pay because there are evil people out there. and the police cannot read people's minds to know who is who. Now, as far as the biblical use of deadly force by police, we have the Old Testament law, we have some biblical examples. In the Old Testament, there is the right to self-defense. I don't even have time to get into all of those verses, but that's a given. There's also the state's right to use the sword, capital punishment against murderers. And the police have the right to shoot those who threaten people's lives, even before the assailants pull the trigger. Also, under the Old Testament law, kidnapping, holding people against their will, calls for the death penalty. Exodus 21:16. Because the threat of violence against someone is a provocation to murder someone. So according to the law of God, armed robbery, the holding of a knife against someone, calls for the death penalty. In Exodus 22, if a thief breaks into someone's home at night, the owner has the right to kill that person. Yes, even if he was there just to be a thief. Because the owner doesn't know the thief's intent. The benefit of the doubt goes to the homeowner and to the police for that matter. Now, if the theft takes place during the daytime, the Bible says that the homeowner cannot kill the thief because it's assumed that then the homeowner could assess whether the criminal had a weapon, whether his life was truly in jeopardy. And also, in the Bible, law enforcement has the right to detain and arrest suspects using deadly force. Numbers 35:19, the blood avenger, the law enforcer, himself shall put the murderer to death. He shall put him to death when he meets him. Or 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 8, then you shall surround the king, each with his weapon in his hand, and whoever comes within the ranks shall be put to death. Many more verses like this. And beyond this, the state actually has the right to shoot and kill offenders for any crime in times of mayhem and social violence, such as in times of martial law. John Calvin, in his Discourse on Civil Government, takes the standard Protestant position that the exact penalties within the law of Moses do not need to be followed by all nations, since the law was given only to Israel, but that any penalty passed by the state is valid before God as long as it's in keeping with the intent of stopping evil. Calvin writes, in some nations, given the increase in certain crimes and lawlessness, increased penalties and police authority are justified. Quote, there may be a country which, if murder was not visited with fearful punishments, would instantly become a prey to robbers and slaughter. There may be an age requiring that the severity of punishment should be increased. Well, I'll take up more of these details on my YouTube version of this program, my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. This will be YouTube number 136. But to sum up, our heart goes out to criminals when they have to reap what they've sown, whether in just measure or not. As the Lord says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, do I have pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God? Rather that he should turn from his ways and live. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. And that's the real message that is overlooked in all of the politics. The message to stop sinning, to be saved from sin, to be saved from the wrath of God's avenger, but even more, to be saved from the wrath of God himself, who is the judge of all the earth. So you've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs, or to access the video links, is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for including God and Country as just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we plead with you to arrest us, to stop us in our sin, so that we have time to come to our senses and be saved. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.